640 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Special Report. Yesterday's Bourbon Street attack that has left at least 14 people dead, in addition to the attacker and injured dozens more, was
100% inspired by ISIS. And so we're digging through more of the social media, more interviews, working with some of our other partners to ascertain a little bit more about that.
FBI Deputy Assistant Director Christopher Reyes says the Army veteran joined ISIS over the summer and appeared to act alone. CBS's Katie Weiss says the attacker's Texas home, which investigators have been searching.
We know that the officials have actually obtained three different cell phones and two laptops that belonged to the attacker, and they have been reviewing those, combing through those for more information about what his motives might have been.
President Biden's message.
We're going to continue to relentlessly pursue ISIS and other terrorist organizations where they are, and they'll find no safe harbor here.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
From the Civic Media Newsroom, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. A Waukesha County student has died after reportedly being hit by a school bus in the school parking lot this morning. It happened at the Silver Spring Intermediate School, part of the Hamilton School District in the town of Sussex. Now, this was a really young student. They were in 4K. They were transferring to a shuttle bus to be taken to Willow Springs Learning Center, according to district officials. Paul Milkey, district superintendent, said they'll have resources on hand to help support students and staff. He said they know this raises concerns and emotions for the whole school community. He said that's all the information they're sharing for now. And an Ozaukee County manufacturer will shut down at the end of January, impacting about 200 workers. Guy Andaniel is a wet wipe manufacturer. The closure notice filed with the State Department of Workforce Development doesn't include a reason. And Wisconsin high school football coaches are pitching a plan to change how the postseason works. This comes after a snafu this past season where the WIAA admitted two teams should have been included in the playoffs, but weren't. With more, here's Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Kuska.
A proposal to change how Wisconsin high school football teams qualify for the playoffs and are organized by division has overwhelming support from coaches. The Wisconsin Football Coaches Association says of the 400 head coaches responding to a survey, 350 of them, or 87.5%, support the WFCA's proposal, which would eliminate computer algorithms from the playoff process. This year, the WIAA admitted it made mistakes in setting the playoff field, leaving out Madison West and Greenfield. Now the plan goes to committee and could be up for a vote as soon as February for implementation as soon as the fall of 2025. According to WIAA data, there are approximately 425 high school football programs in Wisconsin, of which 240 make the playoffs. I'm Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Kuska for Civic Media News.
The next step is a coaches advisory committee meeting. That's on Tuesday. And that's news on WAUK. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brooklyn Nets are back in Milwaukee, taking on the Bucks at Fiserv Forum. The two teams played just a week ago. The Nets won that one, 111-105. The NFL has named three Packers players to the Pro Bowl: safety Xavier McKinney, running back Josh Jacobs, and defensive end Rashawn Gary. Meanwhile, Jaire Alexander's season is over. He had to have his right knee scoped Tuesday after weeks of swelling and pain. He suffered a torn PCL back in October against the Jaguars. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
It's unfortunate. It is what it is. I feel for him. Obviously, he was trying to get his knee right. It wasn't getting right. And so, yeah, it's a tough deal for all of us.
Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
That's tough. Anytime, you talk about season-ending injuries, guys not being able to come back, it's tough. I'm going to be praying for John, and hopefully he can recover. But, it's tough. Feel for the guy, definitely wants to be out there. So it's tough.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the mid-teens. For tomorrow, sunshine's back, highs into the low 20s and a little breezy. The weekend looks like low to mid-20s, more sun than clouds, maybe some flurries Sunday night and Monday. It's 24 right now.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show. Sandy Williams will be here to ring in the new year, and we'll discuss the biggest issues affecting everyday Americans headed into 2025.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always reads between the lines until he sees a car coming, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. We are kicking off hour number two here of Nightlight, this Thursday edition of Nightlight. It might be Thursday, folks, but it feels like, would you say a Thursday, Conrad? It feels like a Thursday.
Feels like a Monday.
Oh, that's great. That's good to know. Conrad's having a Monday kind of show.
I'm with Conrad. It does feel like Monday.
I'm ready to, well, that's because it's probably the start of a new year, maybe. I don't know. We're kinda, it's like a big Monday, right? It's
right.
Like a
Super Monday.
Metaphorical Monday. Yeah, Super Monday. My guests are currently in the studio, Antonio Polk and Marsha Dean Polk. They are the creative force behind the film Angels in the Rye that we've been talking about for the last few minutes. And you also have a short film coming out called Better Off Dead. B-O-D. How did you do this? Did you shoot kind of at the same time to save money, or did that work out that way, or they separate productions?
We shot Better Off Dead 4 years ago.
Now
remember we had the pandemic.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of stuff put Better Off Dead on stall.
Okay.
So we're rounding it up as far as post is concerned with Better Off Dead. But then my wife, you know how women are, you have to go ahead and put them first.
She's throwing her hands up, and then she started coughing right when you said that. So I don't want to read into that, Antonio. You're on your own here, buddy.
Blame me.
Yeah. So, you know, the objective was to go ahead and completely finish with BOD and then get started on Angels in the Rye.
But okay.
Like I said, the pandemic happened that put things on stall, and then my wife came up with her film. So while BOD was on stall, we figured out we start production
working on something else
with Angels in the Rye. Yeah. So
was this your first feature film that you directed and wrote? Like, is this your first?
This is definitely my first feature film producing and directing. And
a lot different than doing a short.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Way different.
Better or worse?
I would say, I mean, just more time consuming, not worse for sure.
Okay.
Because, you know, I mean, it was quite an experience.
You know,
this isn't my first short film, but it's definitely my first feature.
Okay.
So, but, you know, as far as, you know, just time consuming, a lot of casting, a lot of location scouting, you know, just very extremely, you know, time consuming.
Right.
Yeah.
You guys are both actors.
Mm-hmm.
Marsha Dean, I think, are you an actress in Better Off Dead?
I am.
Okay. So let's start with you. Tell me a little bit about your acting background, and then tell me what you like better, being behind the scenes or on camera.
Okay, let's talk about it. So ever since I was a little girl, I always saw myself on TV. But I always dibbled and dabbed in it, like since the 80s.
Okay.
I've always done little things, but when I got older, I was like, it never leaves you. If you want that thing, it just never leaves.
You got to try it.
You just got to. You just keep digging and keep pounding. And I was in, maybe four or five independent films, short films in Chicago.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, that's where I met Antonio at a short independent film.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty much been the history of my acting, just never giving up and continuing to go for it.
Now compare that to writing. What do you like to do better? Writing overwhelming in my opinion, but I'd love to hear what you have in mind too.
Well, actually, yeah. Angels in the Rye is not my first book.
Okay.
My first book is Life is But a Four-Leaf Clover. Mm. And it's my life story.
We're thinking about making that into a documentary.
I would love to make that in.
Nice.
You know, being that I was born and raised in Mississippi in the rural.
I thought you had a southern thing going on.
Absolutely. I am absolutely a country girl.
I knew it was further south than the south side of Chicago, too.
Absolutely, okay. Mississippi. So, with that being said, I did my book. And it told my life story from a little girl until I can remember. And it was such a wonderful process. I never knew I was going to be a writer. It was not planned. It was not embedded in me.
Yeah.
I just said, let me write a book, and I did it. And then after that book was done, I said, so if you did that, you can write a novel, girl.
Keep going. Keep
typing. Yeah. I didn't know where to start until I was given some information and about the family. And then it just took off. Angels in the Rye was born.
Right.
Yeah.
My guests are Antonio Polk and Marcia Dean Polk. Marcia Dean is the woman you just heard talking. She's an actress and a writer and an executive producer on Angels in the Rye. Antonio is the director, producer, and on camera. And you have an acting background, too. You've got good credits. I saw both of you on your IMDb page.
Yeah.
Tell us about your trajectory. And what do you like better? Like, directing is the ultimate power kick, man. Like,
it is. My first love has always been in front of the camera.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think I do still like, you know, that more so than directing and producing. But, as you get a little older, you get a little, you start winding down a little bit. So you want to kind of slide behind things, you know what I mean? So, and that's probably why I'm more so of a director and a producer.
Okay.
But my first love is being in front of the camera.
How do you find, I had a casting director years ago tell me that when you get older is when you, if you're not already established, like by 30, try again when you're older, because they're always looking for new faces when people reach or approach middle age. I don't know how old you guys are, but do you find that that's been the case? Like you've been on two of the three Chicago shows.
Yeah.
You got the triumvirate in your sights. What did you do? Chicago and Med, right?
I did Chicago PD. I did Med.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're waiting for that fire phone call.
You know what? I did have a fire phone call, and I didn't get hired for the job, but I thought I did a wonderful job.
Okay. You have to think that, right? Of course you do. They're the ones. It's their problem.
It's their problem, right. It's not my problem. I know what I'm doing.
They went in a different direction. Yeah.
But I must say, he's a wonderful director.
Yeah.
He did an amazing job.
Which has to be a relief for you, given the fact that it's your material.
It was. But he becomes a bulldog. He's straightforward. Oh, wow. He's focused. And I'm silly half the time, so.
Right. Well, I don't mean to be that way. I just want to get the job done and get it a quality job done. You know what I'm saying? Get it done and get it over with. So,
right.
Yeah. So don't joke with me and don't bother me too much while I'm in my zone.
It's costing you money too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. It's costing me money. Right. Exactly.
All right. I'm gonna go full blown Oprah Dr. Phil here. But you guys are a married couple. You're both creative types.
Yeah.
You both produce. What's that like? Is that a benefit, or at times do you wish, I wish he was a welder or something?
This Tell
is
the
too
truth.
Crazy. Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, we the latter for sure. You know, but you have to push through that. And then the end result is, I'm so glad I did this with you, honey. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In the process, it's like, can you just go over there and let me do this right here? You know? So
it's nice to have a house in Door County and one in Chicago under those circumstances.
You know what?
I got him to hit the Greyhound station. I'll see you next week. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's wonderful working with my wife.
And it's cool you guys met through this process too,
which
Absolutely.
Has to be advantageous too, I would imagine. That's great. Yeah. So have you ever written, Antonio? Do you have any desire to write?
I have. I wrote a short film called Detained.
Okay.
And that's right now is currently being submitted to film festivals.
Okay. Oh,
so I'm a writer as well.
Busy guy.
I just haven't, wrote a feature.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about it, but I haven't quite, I don't know if I have that desire to write that many pages. You know, I can do 20 or 30, you know, 100,
right.
You know, it's kind of far-fetched for me.
Yeah.
But I believe if I put my mind to it, I can.
Absolutely, sure. You can.
Yeah.
You guys both seem to love Door County.
Love it.
Do you ever, and it's so picturesque and beautiful, do you ever think, I like this place so much, I want to write something based on the location? Can the location inspire you to write something just so you can film there?
I haven't really thought that far. Okay. I just kind of wanted to utilize the Door County's locations, period.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So if somebody writes a good screenplay, my first objective is to incorporate Door County in it somewhere.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If it matches.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? As far as locations is concerned.
Right.
Yeah, if it feels right. But so it's just so beautiful out there. You know?
Yeah.
You got the A Harbor area. You got the...
Stunning.
You know...
all of it. Sister Bay.
Yeah, Sister Bay. Right.
Fish Creek.
You know.
It's all gorgeous.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
exactly.
All right, so what we talk about on the show a lot is what we're watching on TV. So do you guys have something you're watching either together or individually that you could share? Something you're binge watching? Something you just saw at the theater that really resonated?
I'm a total old school junkie. Dude, I'm a Fred Sanford. Sanford and Son type guy. This latest stuff, I haven't really seen anything that really, you know, I'm a Bonanza guy. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, that is old school.
You know, really. Yeah.
I have periodically on the show, I have my buddy Jimmy Pardo was just on. He said he got into Columbo. And I have, since, for whatever reason, since we've been on the air, that John Amos has come up. His name, he passed away.
Yeah.
Good Times was dropped. Norman Lear died. So
yeah.
We've gotten a lot of mileage out of Good Times.
Right.
I kind of forgot about Sanford and Son.
Yeah.
Some of those, like the Jeffersons or All in a Family or whatever. And those such great shows.
You know, or, you know, I'm like a, you know, Rifleman. You know,
yeah.
I'm just that dude that really focused on that era, you know.
Here's a fun fact for you. I told you earlier that I live in the Marinette area, an hour north of here, right across from Sturgeon or Egg Harbor, I guess.
Yeah.
One of the producers of the Rifleman is from Marinette.
Really?
Yeah. His name was Arthur Gardner, and he died recently at like 105.
Oh, wow.
Maybe 2010, but he's a World War II vet, and he and his buddies filmed the war, and they took all their camera equipment out to L.A.
Wow.
After the war and created like the Rifleman and some of those Chuck Connors shows, F Troop.
F Troop. Yeah, yeah.
Crazy. I mean, I'm like...
You know, that's really
funny.
This is not my first time hearing this about Door County. What is with everybody, you know, coming from L.A. and ending up in Door County, you know, these old writers and old producers and such.
You hope it doesn't last too long.
Right.
You want a little space. That's why you're there. You don't need to be over here. All right, you guys, this is fun. Thank you so much.
Don't be
strangers. Keep us posted on the film and let us know when we can see it. We'll have you back.
We definitely will, man. Thank you so much for having us.
For sure.
Antonio Polk and Marcia Dean Polk. We will be right back with some... we talked a little bit of angels. Now we're going to talk some ghosts when we come back. Todd Michaels will be here. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, she told me it can break your heart. I met this little woman, I feel it's happened to me, and I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late to turn back now. I believe
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot!
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country. Matt and Air on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Your new choice. Real news, great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Wow, it's our first show. I thought that was very well put, Conrad. This is like the Monday of the year.
The Mondays of all Mondays.
Very good correlation. I have to read. Thank God, Steady Eddie texted to get that horrible picture that Cam sent. Do you think that was Cam? No, that's like a mannequin or something.
It's a statue, I think, attached to a toilet.
Really disturbing. But at least there's a big bottle of Listerine next to the half-naked man that I'm looking at. Steady Eddie texts. He says, Pete, I hear rumors. Could be maybe I started. That me and Arnold Schwarzenegger are opening an Austrian buffet in Green Bay in the spring of 2025. All the Wiener Schnitzel you can eat. Arnold's slogan, our Wiener Schnitzel. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's so good you'll be back. And things of that nature and so forth and so on. Now get to the choppa and eat some more schnitzel. Steady Eddie, I think you got something there. He says, Pete, non-alcoholic beer will be available. Dude, I am there. Thank you as always. Steady Eddie for the great text. He says, P.S. Pete and Conrad, Arnold and I are still looking for investors. Are you guys in or out? I'm in. Yeah. I think I got money to burn, Steady Eddie. I think you probably know that. But yeah, I would love to. It would make me suspicious if Arnold Schwarzenegger is looking for mid-market radio hosts to invest. Like, I think he's got the money.
And a 25-year-old producer. He definitely wants my money.
I set aside $2 a week for a rainy day, and I'm giving it to Arnold Schwarzenegger. All right, this is exciting. Every so often, I like to talk about the paranormal. And I'm kind of new to radio, but I've done this at other places too. And it just so happens when I started working here, Todd Michaels, the producer of Mino and the Mayor, every day here at WGBW and WISS, dropped that he was a paranormal investigator. So Yahtzee, I got someone in-house here that I can confer with every once in a while about the paranormal and tell ghost stories. And Todd joins us now here on Nightlight, helping us kick off our first show of 2025. Hey, buddy, how are you?
I think the Monday of the year,
yeah.
That whole thing, I think that's so true. That
we got something
that
there?
Sums it up for me.
Yeah. Got a case of the Mondays, but serious case of the Mondays. Yeah. How are you, man? Did you have a good New Year?
Very uneventful.
Yeah.
Uneventful. Yeah. I did not party. There were no, no big celebrations. There was no cork popping in any way, shape or form. So it was an
early. You just opened a can of worms there, pal.
cork popping. So no, none of that going on.
Do you, Todd, you're a holiday hater. Do you, you told me that on the air. I'm not repeating anything.
I really am. And I don't know what happened because I used to love the holidays, but now I want nothing to do with them.
Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that your expectations are so high? Or maybe not now, but let's say like 20 years ago, a younger Todd Michaels wasn't quite as jaded. And all of a sudden it's like, wow, things are kind of a letdown. I think they are with a lot of people when it comes to holidays, birthdays, et cetera.
I just don't think that we take the time to celebrate them like we should. You know what I'm saying? What we do is, and in this business, in radio and in broadcasting and media, it's go, 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 go.
Right.
You're going to have a couple of days off. Guess what you have to do? You have to prepare special programming.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So there's all that. And you work so hard up to it, you get the day, maybe the day after off, and then it's back into the whole thing. So
I did all this stuff to get ready to take 2 days off. And then I wake up on Christmas Eve and Amanda Nimmer, one of our great producers here, she's like, hey, I need your blurb for social media. And I'm like, well, no, I'm off. Wait, what? Huh? And you're always forgetting something or forgetting to, you're right. There's so much prep just to take a couple days off. So I get that. And that's very well said. We already have someone checking in on the stream. Sandy Jean says, Todd, exclamation point.
Oh, that's my good friend Sandy, who does the Sandy and Todd cast with me.
Tell us about that.
That's a podcast. We talk about ghosts. We talk about paranormal. We talk about weird people. So it's possible that you might come up in conversation at some point, Pete.
I'm in.
And so we've been on hiatus for the last couple of weeks because of the holidays. And this Sunday will be our next edition that comes out. You can check it out on Sunday. Search for the Sandy and Todd cast on Facebook.
Oh, I love that. Conrad, let's take a memo, will you?
A memo. The first memo of 2025.
The first memo. Oh, we need there we go. Okay. So Todd, let's jump in. I love talking about this stuff, and I would probably have you on once every 2 weeks, but I don't want to saturate the show, the entertainment show, with ghost talk or paranormal talk, even though I find that entertaining. So I appreciate your time as always. I want to ask you first, have you ever heard of the, I don't know if it's the Christmas ship, but it was a ship in Door County. My friend Frank Anderson first told me about this, and apparently people see it from Algoma or Door County, a ship going by with people kind of partying on the deck. And it was a famous, I don't think it was the Griffin, but it was, does that sound familiar? Because
it does.
Okay.
It does. And for some reason I want to say it had something to do with Christmas, right? It was like a Christmas ship or something like that. And maybe there were Christmas trees on it or something like that. But I do remember a story about that. Okay. Yes. I don't have all the details in my mind on that.
So for next time, I'll be ready with that, because I asked Frank about it last time. We got sidetracked to an actual ship that had Christmas trees on it that went down. And I meant to clarify that this is something that people still see. And I find that really haunting. A ship at night going by and you can see people partying on it. And whether it's something people are just seeing in their own heads, but multiple people have reported it. Does that give any validity to these kind of stories?
Well, you know, a lot of these stories, like the lady in white coming down the staircase and the ghost headlights that come down the road, you know, there's a lot of folklore involved with that. However, I will say that, especially when you're talking about Wisconsin, you're talking about the Great Lakes, and you're talking about places like Door County, I can actually believe that something like that could possibly happen, just because of the energy of the land, the energy of the water. Maybe it was a tragic situation. I'd like to have more stories about, you know, do people see the Edmund Fitzgerald, you know, on November, what is it, the 15th or something like that, or whatever it is. I wonder about that kind of stuff. If you want to see something cool, take a look up in Upper Michigan, the Great Lakes Shipwreck Museum there. There's parts of the Edmund Fitzgerald there and stuff like that as well. So if you're into that kind of stuff, there are places to check out. The Maritime Museum in Manitowoc is another great place to go, and that place is haunted.
I've heard of that too. All right. Todd Michaels is here. He's a paranormal investigator. He also produces Mino and the Mayor here at WGBW and WISS. And check out his podcast, Sandy and Todd. Give me the name one more time.
The Sandy and Todd Cast.
The See Sandy and Todd Cast. That?
Toddcast, podcast. See how we did that?
I love
that?
It. That was brilliant. All right. So we'll be right back after some award-winning news comes your way. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
From the Civic Media Newsroom, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. A Waukesha County student has died after reportedly being hit by a school bus in the school parking lot this morning. It happened at the Silver Spring Intermediate School, part of the Hamilton School District in the town of Sussex. Now, this was a really young student. They were in 4K. They were transferring to a shuttle bus to be taken to Willow Springs Learning Center, according to district officials. Paul Milkey, district superintendent, said they'll have resources on hand to help support students and staff. He said they know this raises concerns and emotions for the whole school community. He said that's all the information they're sharing for now. And an Ozaukee County manufacturer will shut down at the end of January, impacting about 200 workers. Guy Andaneel is a wet wipe manufacturer. The closure notice filed with the State Department of Workforce Development doesn't include a reason. And Wisconsin high school football coaches are pitching a plan to change how the postseason works. This comes after a snafu this past season where the WIAA admitted two teams should have been included in the playoffs, but weren't. With more, here's Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Kuska.
A proposal to change how Wisconsin high school football teams qualify for the playoffs and are organized by division has overwhelming support from coaches. The Wisconsin Football Coaches Association says of the 400 head coaches responding to a survey, 350 of them, or 87.5%, support the WFCA's proposal, which would eliminate computer algorithms from the playoff process. This year, the WIAA admitted it made mistakes in setting the playoff field, leaving out Madison West and Greenfield. Now the plan goes to committee and could be up for a vote as soon as February for implementation as soon as the fall of 2025. According to WIAA data, there are approximately 425 high school football programs in Wisconsin, of which 240 make the playoffs. I'm Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Kuska for Civic Media News.
The next step is a coaches advisory committee meeting. That's on Tuesday. And that's news on WAUK. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Former President Jimmy Carter passed away this past weekend at the age of 100. Many remember Carter for his decency, endless service to humankind, which included his involvement with Habitat for Humanity. But what most people don't know is that he was also related to Motown Records founder Berry Gordy. Gordy said that in 1978, his sister Esther did some digging into their family tree. Gordy says he was filled with shock and pride when he found out that he and Carter were actually third cousins. There's as much drama off-screen surrounding actress Blake Lively and actor-director Justin Baldoni as there was on-screen for their film It Ends With Us. Following Lively's lawsuit claiming Baldoni sexually assaulted her and launched a smear campaign against her, Baldoni is filing a countersuit claiming Lively and her team launched a smear campaign against him. Does anything good ever come from a Hollywood smear campaign? Oh yeah, publicity. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the mid-teens. For tomorrow, sunshine's back, highs into the low 20s and a little breezy. The weekend looks like low to mid-20s, more sun than clouds, maybe some flurries Sunday night and Monday. It's 24 right now.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, hard to believe the one-year anniversary of Matinair on air. We're going to celebrate and wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Vicky checks in on the stream and says, never heard of the Christmas ship. It's fascinating, though. Thank you, Vicky, and thank you for listening. And Todd, your podcast partner, says great plug. So
I was just looking up that that whole Christmas tree ship thing. The actual ship was called Rouse Simmons.
Yes.
It was named after a fella, a politician or something like that. And yeah, that did go down.
I don't know if that's the one I'm thinking of, though, with the partiers. But I'll have to ask my friend Frank. He's the one that first made me aware of that. And maybe they're the same ship, maybe not. I'll have to get clarification on that for next time you're here. But on the text line, Todd, fellow Todd from the 920 says, can you ask Todd if he ever went to Escanaba to see the train light thing? Does that sound familiar?
It sounds familiar. I know the story. I've not actually gone up there to check it out.
What is that? What is the train light story?
There's like this ghost train and people see the lights of it pulling up on the tracks and things like that. Kind of similar to the Paulding light story as well up in the UP.
What's that?
The Paulding light. I think we talked about that before, but yeah, there's a light in Paulding, Michigan or something like that, that people see, and they think it's a vehicle of some sort, in the distance, you know?
Interesting. Yeah. So let me ask you this. You and I touched on this also briefly when we were going to do this talk a week ago when you were producing. UFO lights over Lake Michigan in 1994. I told you I was coming back from a stand-up comedy gig with my buddy Jimmy Pardo. These crazy lights were in the sky. What did they ever – like the military, I don't think ever came clean. There was a special on it on Netflix or – something like that. What do you attribute that to? Do you know anything about that?
Well, having seen some reports on it, and I think the best capture of it on media was from Netflix on the new Unsolved Mysteries.
That's it. Unsolved Mysteries. Yeah.
I thought they did a really great job of capturing it. And the great thing about shows like Unsolved Mysteries, when they investigate, you really get all sides. It's not one of those situations like a ghost hunting show where they're just out to try and prove to you that there's ghosts or there's aliens or there's something.
Right.
You're really getting it from the law enforcement folks in the area. You're getting it from people who actually lived there and saw it. And so you're really getting all sides of that. I'm not sure that they've ever come up with, I think the special that I saw came out like 2 years ago or something like that. Since then, I don't think they've ever come up with a solution for it. But from what I've seen, the specials I've watched or the YouTube videos and the stuff I've read, there has to be something paranormal about that. It's either got to be from outer space or something else, because for all those people, and there were a lot of people who encountered this, you said, did you see them or you heard it on the radio or something like that?
We heard, God, it's been so long ago. We heard a report, I think, while we were driving, and we were kind of close, like maybe between like Kalamazoo and Benton Harbor on our way from Detroit to Chicago after a stand-up gig. It was late Saturday night, probably 2 a.m. or something like that, if I remember correctly. But you're right. The people on Unsolved Mysteries, the police, the people that they talked to, a whole bunch of different people that seemed so normal. And none of them said they were aliens. They just didn't know what it was. And the fact that they can't explain it to me in a weird way, Todd, that to me is the best proof that there is either some kind of government thing, we have no idea what happened, or there are beings,
entities,
or
beings,
maybe they just sent lights down. Maybe that's all it was. I don't know. But the fact that it wasn't explained by people who seem to know, that's what really got me kind of believing there was something there.
Well, I think it makes you question, A, do they know something and they're not telling us?
Right.
Or do they simply really not know what the hell was going on? Again, in this day and age, I know that was several years ago, but in this day and age, with the intelligence that we have and the scientific community that we have and all that kind of stuff, it's hard for me to imagine that we can't somehow explain most of that kind of stuff either away or say, yeah, you know what? That's probably crazies from the sky coming down to take a look at Western Michigan, which is a very, if you know anything about Michigan, Western Michigan, there's some very interesting locations on that shore.
There are. Maybe they just wanted to investigate some militias or something. I don't know.
What the hell's going on in Western Michigan is what they're saying.
Okay. So Here's another thing. I find insane asylums really creepy.
Yeah.
And I know probably nothing more creepy happens there than anywhere else, but there was one in Kenosha. Or no, I'm sorry, Sheboygan. Yeah. What can you tell me about the Sheboygan Insane Asylum?
Well, one of the things that I can tell you is that you can actually go there and investigate. They do a series of investigations throughout part of the year. So if you really want to go and check out that insane asylum, you can go there and actually go with a group of people and go in and investigate. Some of the stuff that I've seen from past investigations from TV shows and things like that, there's some animosity in some of those locations over there. And I think you have to be very careful when going in to those situations. Those places were filled with people who had traumatic lives, traumatic mental problems. And if that energy is standing by or staying behind, I should say, you could be encountering some real bad stuff. I will say this. One of the things that came out of one of the investigations that I really appreciate was locations like that, like in insane asylums, you go to some of the places, the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum was a place that a lot of people go to, places that had tuberculosis. You go there and you continually investigate these places. How many times, let's say, Pete, you pass away and you passed away in the Sheboygan Asylum. Okay. Let's just say,
where this is going
and your energy is stuck there. You were tormented your entire life. Now your energy is somehow trapped there. And every day you're getting asked, are you here? Can you do something to show me that you're here? Can you answer these questions? How would you feel if that was the rest of part of your existence? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Listen, if it was tuberculosis, I'd probably sneeze just to freak people out.
But what I'm saying is,
yeah,
some of these locations, it's okay to investigate, but at some point we got to tone it down a little bit and let some of these energies and these spirits, I feel like, get some rest, you know?
That's so great that you're saying that. Is there a place you've been to, Todd, that you've investigated where you have gotten that vibe where it's like, we shouldn't be here?
Let me think real quick.
Or you just felt weird about being there to begin with?
There were a couple places. The Riverside Theater in Milwaukee gave me weird vibes on a couple of occasions. Another place was, I think I mentioned it before, but Washington Island in Door County definitely gave off the vibes of, you know what, we probably should leave whatever's here alone kind of thing. My friend Sandy, who's been messaging in tonight, she has no problem walking through black mists and stuff like that and finding out what's there. I'm a little bit more like, you know what, maybe we don't need to be here right now, you know? And part of that is because the energy that I'm feeling, but also, like, again, some of these locations, how often can you go in and ask the same damn questions over and over and over?
Yeah. What is black mist?
Well, to me, and I can't tell you for sure, but it was probably some sort of energy trying to show itself. It was trying to get enough energy to basically present itself. And she saw it, and the other members who were investigating with her saw it. And instead of, like, stepping back and watching things happen, she just decided to go walk into it and see what the hell would happen. I think I've talked her out of ever doing that again. Because I will never let her forget that she did something like that.
Did it freak her out?
Not at the time, but after I told her, you know, hey, you know, whatever, if you get possessed or something like that, you know, don't come crying to me kind of thing. But
take the podcast in a whole different direction.
That's right.
My guest is Todd Michaels. He's the producer of Mino and the Mayor here every morning from 6 to 9 on WGBW and WISS. And he is one of the hosts, along with Sandy Jean, who's texting in, of the Sandy and Toddcast. So check that out. They talk about paranormal activity and all kinds of cool stuff. I sent you a link before about a story about the Drake Hotel in Chicago.
Yep.
Another thing I think is cool. I love the insane asylum ships. They just lend themselves to the creep factor, but also old hotels. And there's a story of the woman in red who jumped to her death on New Year's Eve. So I thought this was kind of kind of relevant given that it's that season. What did you make of that, Todd?
Well, again, it has some of the same core feelings of a lot of the stories that kind of come out of folklore. Like maybe something like that did happen. The way to investigate this would be the first thing you would want to do is actually go and investigate police records and try and find out if, in fact, a woman did die by jumping off. You know, that's how you investigate paranormal. You actually do the history on it. You figure that out first, and then you can go in and actually investigate. If you go in going, well, there's a woman here who obviously jumped off on New Year's Eve, you've already made part of your decision on what the hell's going on. It's not a very good way to go into the investigation. I think there might be a little bit of that going on in this story, but okay. Going back to hotels, if you want to have an experience, just get a room at a very old hotel somewhere in Wisconsin, and you will likely find something going on. The Northland in Green Bay, the Pfister in Milwaukee, they're all prime locations for some sort of energy. You think of the hundreds and thousands of people who have gone in there. You think of possibly the hundreds of situations that turned out tragically for people. I mean, people do die there. People do have accidents there. Anger, angst, all that kind of stuff. Hotel is prime property for that kind of stuff.
I've stayed at both of those places. That's interesting.
You're probably now possessed. I'm just saying. So if you start spinning your head around and pea soup comes flying out, we'll go the other direction.
Listen, you know me, I'm possessed, and I still haven't been asked to be a guest on your Toddcast, which I find strange. So you've got a credibility thing here, buddy.
You're a busy guy.
So start with the normal and see if there's paranormal. Is that what you're saying? Like I love the story of the woman in red at the Drake jumping because of infidelity and then coming back to haunt it. You know, do you actually read police reports? Like if people wanted to get into this and do this like people do true crime, is that where they would start?
Absolutely. I mean, you can go and investigate, but go in with an open mind.
Yeah.
Just because you've heard this story doesn't mean it's true. And doesn't mean that even if it is true, that's what is haunting or in that location. It could be something totally else. The problem with investigating with laser precision on that one thing, you may miss 100 other things going on because you're so worried about seeing the woman in red and dealing with that story that there could be somebody you're totally missing out on. So I think if you go into a location, definitely do the actual research on it, know the history of the place. And then when you go and investigate, keep your mind open because you don't know who you're going to run into in these situations.
You know what would be cool? And I don't know why we always tend to hear about ghosts or creepy things, but at the Drake in one of the bars there is still something carved in the bar that says Joe D loves Marilyn M. Marilyn Monroe and Joe DiMaggio were at the bar there. Their energies were in that space. Why don't we hear about that kind of stuff? Oh, Marilyn Monroe and Joe DiMaggio, their apparitions or whatever were seen walking through the... Do you ever hear that kind of stuff, Todd, or in addition to the creepy stuff?
I mean, possibly, but not as much, right? Because what's really scary about that? So people don't gravitate toward that.
Right, it's just
cool.
But
to go in there, but if they stayed there and they carved their stuff in wood on the bar or whatever that's made of, it's very likely or very possible that their energies are somewhere there in that place.
See, that's what fascinated me. And I'm like, why don't we hear about that kind of stuff? Like just to see something.
Cause
really
it's not
cool.
Spooky.
Yeah.
It's not spooky.
People want to be freaked out.
Freaked out. Yep.
So I've got so many. All right. Kemper. We got to do a quick break, Todd, but then should we close with you? Tell me the Kemper Center in Kenosha. That's still around. We could do the Devil's Lake area, I guess, has a lot of ghost stories. I'll let you think about that. We'll come back and we'll wrap up. We'll read a couple texts because you got some fans out there. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Todd Michaels is my guest. We're talking about ghosts, the paranormal, and cool stuff, too. Cool energies here at Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming right back.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the Recombobulation Area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed. Yes, itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee, 540 WAUK.
Vicky checks in on the stream and says, wow, would love to hear about some ghost hunting in the UP. Vicky, maybe we'll do that next time. Conrad, let's remember next time Todd is here to...
Memo.
Maybe, yeah, absolute memo, because I think the UP just lends itself to creepy stuff, too. Sandy Jean says, Washington Island for sure. I've heard many stories about Washington Island. Sarah Jean checks in also and says, Todd, just say every morning, Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. That's, you could take that over and make it your podcast, I guess.
Okay, that's fine.
you might get some pushback there, but Vicky on the stream also says the Retlaw in Fond du Lac, another haunted hotel, I'm guessing.
Yep, a haunted hotel, very similar to the Northland in Green Bay, kind of built at the same time. I think, in fact, built by the same guy. And that might even be tied into the Pfister in Milwaukee. So there's kind of an interesting thing there.
Todd from DePere checks in again, says DePere Sanitarium. LOL it up. Houses are built there now, completely scrubbed from our history. Yeah, that's got to be.
I have to tell you something. We could talk about Devil's Lake. That's the one I would choose from your list there.
Good, because Conrad's Aunt Carla just texted in and says, please. She's from there and she's a good listener. So let's.
Yep. And I know there's stories, you know, all around that. The Baraboo Inn's got stories and the Circus World Museum and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Here's the thing. If you look at your city and you do some history on it, you will find in, I would say, 99% of cities, cemeteries that were built over. Old cemeteries, and they wanted to connect roads, or they wanted to put up industrial stuff, or they wanted to put up more housing. And the easy thing to do, and nobody seemed to care about it really back in the day, was basically just pave over the old cemeteries. Right here in Oshkosh, where I'm at tonight, they did take some of the cemeteries that they basically bulldozed and built over. They did take some of them and move them to a new location, but not all the bodies came over. And in some locations, they just said, you know what, we're going to put up a factory. So often, and if you're in the belief process that that's your final resting place, you can understand why cities and locations could be haunted as heck, you know?
Absolutely.
But seriously, you can look that up in pretty much any city. If you go back far enough, there are cemeteries that are no longer there and the bodies are just gone.
And that's something like you kind of like, just out of respect for the dead, you could understand why there would be so much negative energy there. That's terrible. Absolutely. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. And then you throw in the, and this kind of ties into the whole Devil's Lake area, but you think of all the terrible things that have been done to Native American burial grounds and things of that nature. You can understand why that would have some bad energy. Now, we're just not just talking ghosts.
Right.
We're talking about bad energy. That could be anything from sickness to, you know, accidents and all that kind of stuff can play into that. That's more of an energy thing than necessarily ghosts, but yeah, that's a part of our culture that has been really treated poorly. And I think that has a lot, this is my theory, my thought process, but I think that's why there's so many stories of hauntings and things going on in the Devil's Lake area because of the Native Americans who were pushed out and all that kind of stuff way back. Same thing with Washington Island and all they went through up there with the French and all that kind of stuff.
I think the what I've read too about the Devil's Lake area is because of the baraboo, was there a crash or something and animals died, or there were ghost elephants people saw, which sounds crazy.
I have not seen that. Well, but here's the thing. I mean, there are stories of ghost dogs and ghost cats and all that kind of stuff, right? So why would it be so horrible or so unbelievable that there wouldn't be ghost elephants someplace? It's just energy, right?
Yeah. Todd, I was saying at the head of the show that I had kind of a zombie holiday season here. I watched 4 zombie movies, just kind of not a zombie guy necessarily, but my kids were home. We all just settled on 2 of the 28 Days movies, I Am Legend and World War Z. Where does the paranormal, is there a consensus about zombies? It's a pretty vague term, you know, are they dead? Are they not? Do you like those kind of movies given what you do or what your side hustle is? Do you have an opinion on zombies?
I don't really get into the zombies too much. But here's the thing, just like my mind is open to other things, it kind of falls into the Bigfoot category for me, which is, I can't say that it would never happen or doesn't happen. I just haven't seen proof of it yet. And I haven't necessarily wrapped my brain around what I would do if I ran into a situation like that. Again, I told you before, seeing ghosts or dealing with entities or energies, that's one thing I can deal with that. Even if I can't see him, I can deal with that.
Yeah.
But humans are worse than ghosts. And I would think that zombies are worse than humans. I'm just guessing.
Very interesting. I remember when The Walking Dead came out, I was like, well, it's a little unbelievable. I have trouble. It's like, no, just the brainstem is alive. And that's what keeps them going. I'm like, think about what you're just a guy. You don't even know what you're talking about. But people want to believe stuff. I don't know. It's just fascinating to me.
Yep.
Hey, our question tonight, Todd, if you don't mind answering quickly,
We
just have a few seconds left, is National Buffet Day. Do you have a favorite kind of buffet, buddy?
Well, I heard you say earlier Chinese, but then you always overdo it. Absolutely. Yeah. Give me a bell on that one right there.
All right.
I'll eat till I get sick.
We're hitting a Chinese buffet one of these days. All right. Thank you so much, buddy. That's
peace out.
Todd
have
Michaels.
A great night.
Thanks, you too. That's check out Mino and the Mayor. You can hear Todd often with those guys. They're a great team in the morning here at WGBW and WISS. Bridget checks in and also says Chinese from the 818. She says, there are so many dishes I love. It's so nice to have a taste of them all. I think that's why people love buffets, right? Conrad, not a bad Monday show, I would say overall, right?
Yes. Great Monday show.
And you'll want to be here tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, for our Tuesday, our first Tuesday, Monday, Friday show of the year, where we'll have Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens. We'll talk some Bears-Packers. Big game this weekend, folks. Kind of meaningless, but an old rivalry. And then Rob Thomas, our buddy, will be here at 7:05 tomorrow night to talk movies and TV. Have a great night, everybody. Thank you for being with us here at Nightlight. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I am Peach Wabba saying good night, Wisconsin.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special TGIF edition of the show. Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, will be here with a humorous look at the week in review. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Matt Nair on air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jade, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt and Air on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Federal investigators say the man who plowed his car into a crowd on Bourbon Street in New Orleans, killing at least 14 New Year's revelers before he was killed, was an Army veteran who joined ISIS over the summer. CBS's Tony DeCoppo.
The FBI calling the attack here premeditated and evil. And while the investigation continues, authorities say they are now confident that the attacker acted alone. They also say new evidence, including video posted to social media, shows that Army veteran Shamsuddin Jabbar was, quote, 100% inspired by ISIS.
FBI Deputy Assistant Director Christopher Rea with more on those videos.
In the first video, Jabbar explains he originally planned to harm his family and friends, but was concerned the news headlines would not focus on the, quote, war between the believers and the disbelievers.
President Biden says investigators have found no link between